This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning. We'll say that.
Even though it's Sam minus Greg who's on assignment, and we're hoping to hear from Chris Goforth, join us here this morning. Glad you're with us for weekend mornings here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I'm here, you know, and we got Noelle other side of the glass. On this
good
Saturday morning.
Morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Pretty good.
You know, it's great. We always hear this voice. Greg, we're not going to send out a search party for him because we think we know where he is on assignment. You know, sometimes he slides off the Buc-ee's and we have to go down there and find him. But I don't think he's down there, at least not today. He may go tomorrow. We don't know. And you know he loves to get those sandwiches, and he scrapes the brisket off the bun. You know, he's not doing the bun these days.
Just brisket and sauce, but it sounds good though.
It sounds like it'll work.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, we are here this morning. We're gonna be up here till we got a hard finish there. We're at 11:50. We can't go all the way to noon. But 11:50, we got to be done. That's what we're doing this morning. We got a great show for you. Hope you're gonna be in. Stay tuned with us. And a lot of people like bemoan this weekend. A lot of people will moan this weekend because it's not a football game. Man, you know, and I'm feeling it too. But you know what? There is so much happening and so much that's on the verge of happening. I mean, and we're going to cover a lot of it on our show this morning. We hope you're going to be with us. You know, wow, we got guests who are going to come in. Tim Scarborough is going to join us talking college hoops. Who would have ever thunk it? Who would have ever thunk it? At the biggest basketball game right now, everybody's talking about college basketball. First of all, it'll be two SEC teams, and it'll be Alabama and Auburn.
That's crazy.
That's the main event this weekend. Alabama and Auburn basketball. It happens 4 o'clock today. But I tell you what I saw this week that was pretty intriguing was a Southern Cal UCLA women's game.
Woo!
Star-studded.
Wasn't it?
I mean, people sitting on courtside, and unbelievable. Because people don't care about the Southern Cal USC football game anymore. They used to be must-see TV back in the day, all right? And people didn't even tell you who won that football game anymore. But the basketball game was jam-packed, and it was great theater. And Miss Juju came through and did her thing. And it was awesome to see. So we're going to talk a little college hoops with Tim. Also, we're going to talk some things as baseball goes. First of all, Mike Salmon, a 92.9 alum, is going to join us to talk about, you know, amateur baseball, getting people to participate here in the community and here in the Metro Atlanta. There's so many people who get out and play the game. And so we're going to talk about that as well. And then Grant McCullough is going to join us from down at Braves Spring Training, where Ronald Acuna Jr. was talking to people yesterday.
Yeah, boy.
And he's talking about he's ready to go out and play. But, you know, you always have to hold them back. You know, I mean, he's coming back off this injury. And if you're Alex Anthopoulos, if you're Brian Snitker, you want to make sure this guy is all the way, all the way. You know?
Man, from what I've seen in batting practice, let him loose. Let him loose.
He's ready to go. I don't think he's going to play at the end of the spring training games. They're saying he's not going to play any of the exhibitions, but they just want him to keep doing what he's doing, right? Keep doing what he's doing. But he's pumped up and he's ready to get it. He always is.
Yeah,
you know?
He look on track. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to see. He look on track. He was sounding good too. Using what English?
Yeah, said he's hung out around his teammates and
yeah,
got his English up to the point where, and you know, if you've been in the clubhouse and hung around him, you would hear certain words that he would speak sometimes. But if you wanted to do an interview with you, he was gonna, you know, make sure.
If you paid attention, you know, right, you'd see him converse amongst himself, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
But as soon as the camera or microphone come over.
Yeah, Franco, come here.
Yeah, I need my homie Franco.
He'd get his man to interpret, but he's doing that, something else new to look for from him as we go along the season. And then we're going to talk some Falcons. We're going to talk some NFL. That's not a game, but we got a lot to talk about because we got to get this roster redone, who's staying, who's going, and who's staying and who's going for some other teams around this league. You know, he just had a big old parade in Philadelphia yesterday. Who was it? The team president, the GM, got hit with a beer can or something.
Saquon pull the ball boy out the crowd.
Right, right.
It looked like a wild affair, man.
It's Philadelphia.
Yeah, boy.
You know, it's Philadelphia.
That's going to be a wild Abbott Elementary episode. I can't wait for that one. I got to get caught up so I can lead right into that one.
Right, right. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
you have a big one.
It's going to be a wild episode.
Absolutely. But before we're done today, we're going to check in with Dave Archer. Talk a little bit about Falcons this offseason, what he's thinking, what he's feeling, what we should look for and anticipate as we start focusing on free agencies, start focusing on combine and pro days, and start focusing on the draft, which the Falcons right now have 5 picks. Only five. That's a tie. I read, but it's a tie for the fewest.
Yeah, that's at least little margin for error, doesn't it?
Really doesn't. You got to get these right now.
Yeah, but they say it's a lot of D-tackle talent.
Okay.
They say it's a lot of D-tackle talent. They say it's a lot of defensive talent this year. So these scouts should be able to find 5 guys to come in here and contribute, even if it's on special. Even if you're tackling somebody on special teams. I mean, we saw how happy Kadero Hodge was at the Pro Bowl for special teams and being a backup wide receiver. So, yeah, go find 5 guys.
How about that? Go find 5 guys. And remember, I watched glimpsed a couple of mock drafts. I don't do a deep dive into mock drafts, but I picked a couple. And I think we picked one on CBS Sports and had Shedeur Sanders going number 1 overall.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean.
Spicy.
You know, this is the time of year when everybody throws things out and see what'll get reaction and what'll get traction, right?
Definitely. And then, you know, you try to hear the tea leaves in the water to see which way a team is going, this or that way. But for most of the years of mock drafts, in my opinion, I've seen some people be more successful taking what's on the surface of what they hear on the surface than trying to dig and find something, you know, out of the ordinary or come up with all these trade scenarios and this move and that move. When the teams pretty much tell you what – the teams that are going to tell you, and if you know how to listen to them, they pretty much tell you up front what they're going to do.
Yeah, and they usually kind of stick to it. But, you know, there's always a chance, you know, and especially the Falcons maybe can trade and go drop down in the draft order, maybe be able to pick up another pick in a later round. We'll see how all that goes. We know what we have, but we know the needs are immediate for this team. And right now, if there's an edge rusher that's going to be there at the time, you know we're going to see it. Yep. We'll see what happens with those. So that's what's coming up today. Also, we talk about All-Star Weekend for the NBA and just All-Star Games, period. This is supposed to be All-Star Weekend for the NHL. They're doing something a little different. Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, they're doing something very different. They're doing something called the Nations. What do they call it? It's like a 4-team tournament. And it's the USA, Finland, Sweden, and Canada, and they're playing some of the games up in Montreal. They're playing some in Boston.
Okay.
And so, in lieu of an All Star game, they're having this midseason.
Oh, so they're doing it in lieu of
an international tournament.
That's interesting because it's kind of like what the NBA has kind of done with the Rising Stars games in different years. Like this year's format of the different teams, the tournament style plus the U.S. versus World Stars format kind of put together, and then you get a back-and-forth home court situation. It's very interesting to do in lieu of an All-Star game.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, you still recognize your All-Stars, the people who are All-Stars, but you're going to do this event that's going to be different and give the fans something kind of different. And that's a conversation I think we want to run a thread throughout this morning. You know, Have you burned out on All-Star games? Have All-Star games lost their whatever? And this, we'll take calls on this too throughout the morning. 404-726-0929. Do you get excited over All-Star games? We just had a Pro Bowl weekend that we snowed through a couple of weekends ago. Baseball All-Star game, I think it still holds some of its luster, but maybe it lost some because I'm old enough. To talk about, you know, pre-interleague play.
Yeah.
Before interleague play, it was the only time you'd see players from another league on the field together competing, unless you're in the World Series or exhibition games before the season started. So has the fact of interleague play, we've seen these guys. We see them all the time. They come. If you're in a major league city especially, you know, you get to see players from the other league. I used to say, man, the Braves were bad back in the day. I said, man, we're never going to see. You're never going to see American League team playing. And then we had in the early 80s, we had a work stoppage in baseball. And when they brought the teams back, instead of going back to do a training, spring training all over again, it says, let's play an exhibition. Let's play some exhibition games. And the Milwaukee Brewers came to Atlanta and played the Braves at Fulton County Stadium. Obviously, the connection with the Braves previously having been from Milwaukee.
That's exactly what I was just thinking.
And it was a cool team. Robin Yount and Gorman Thomas. It was, you know, Harvey Kuhn's team. They call him Harvey Wallbangers. Great, 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 great team. And so I took off to go and see. I was like, I want to see these guys. We're bad. We're not going to have an American League team playing in this town ever at the rate the Braves were going at the time. So it was great to see American League team play. But, you know, now with interleague play, you wonder if that even diminishes a little bit, even for baseball's All-Star game. I still think the thing that's got me with baseball All-Star games are the unis. If they just go back to letting folks wear their team, something with better with their team colors on them.
I feel like all the uniforms, to be honest. Like, because there was a point in the 80s, like in the NBA, right, where everybody wore their own jerseys, and that was cool. And then there was a point where they did the jersey All-Star games, and those first couple ones were cool. But now it's kind of like the designs are ugly and they're a clear money grab. It's like, let them wear their own jersey.
Yeah.
You selling enough of them till you got 17 different versions of them. Let them pick whichever of their home team jersey they want to wear and let them go out there in that one. They got 17 different varieties. Let them pick one of them and go out there.
All right.
Let them even dig in the crates. Make them a jersey if they want it. Let them even dig in the crates and be like, give me the 1950 jersey. Let me wear that one.
We do that. That might be better,
yeah,
right?
That could be fun.
That's what you look forward to. All-Star games, have they outlived their better purpose, in your opinion? Give us a shout, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Sam Crenshaw here, minus Greg. Hopefully we'll be joined by Chris Goforth this morning as well, and we're going to have some fun this morning. So that's our show coming up for you. I didn't get to do my story of the week. Can we do that, come back from the break?
We sure can.
Come back, we do a story of the week, and we talk some NFL talk, some more thoughts on the Super Bowl game as we look ahead to what's next for the National Football League and our Atlanta Falcons. Got a great show coming up for you. Stay with us this morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Got Sam Crenshaw 9 floors up in the Kia Studios on this Saturday morning. Minus Greg, who is on assignment. Still may get a casting call in a little later on today. Well, got Noel other side of the glass. And what we got coming up for you later on today here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Hey, Atlanta United versus Dallas. Of course, they're tuning up, getting ready for that season opener that's coming up in a week. They play against Montreal next Saturday. But they're planning on playing Dallas today, and you can be able to hear the coverage here starting at 11:50 when we are done. And tomorrow morning, Jason Longshore will be with me. We get to hear everything about Atlanta United getting a set, as he's going to spend the next two mornings with me tomorrow morning and Monday morning as well. He'll join us. Now, once the soccer is done, we got this main event basketball game we've been talking about. We got Auburn against Alabama, 3:45 pregame, 4 o'clock tip, and then after that, Kentucky against Texas, pregame 7:45 tip at 8 o'clock. That's what's coming up for you. Sports we have coming up for you here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. They hope you're following us on the Odyssey app. Hope you've downloaded the Odyssey app and have it with you. Wherever you go, you can always follow us. Go on there. Any past episodes of the Merry Misadventures of Sam and Greg are there. You're going to hear those or any of our shows that take place here during the week from any of our hosts who do things to inform you, enlighten you, and entertain you here all week long here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. So glad you're with us. Noel, now did you have a story of the week? Because I was going to drop one if people.
Yeah.
Story of the week. All right, let's do story of the week.
It's time for Sam and Greg's story of the week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
It could be, well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's story of the week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
Okay, you just got Sam, and I don't know what Greg would pick. Like I said, he's on assignment, and, you know, he's having a wonderful time. And you know what? And this is something that just happened yesterday. You know, we had a whole week with all the things, stuff, and, you know, obviously Trae Young being added to the All-Star roster, which is outstanding, right, you know, and Eastern Conference Player of the Week. That's great for him to have that headed out, so he's going to be representing the city of Atlanta. Zach Richesay was representing us last night. But also, while out in California getting set for the All-Star game, they gave the name of the finalists for the Naismith Hall of Fame. And, you know, there's some great names on here. Carmelo Anthony's on there, probably one of the most decorated Olympic international players. People forgetting, obviously, the long NBA career and the national championship at Syracuse. Coach Billy Donovan Okay. Marcus Johnson's. Okay, see? You got some people. Buck Williams, remember this dude? Awesome, awesome player back in the day. And then you got a great selection of women's players. Jennifer Azey is on here. Sue Bird. Sylvia Fowles.
Nice, nice.
But there are two people on this thing that are a special place for me because they kind of launched what I think, I won't say a renaissance or a revolution of the high school basketball player in this state, in Metro Atlanta.
Hmm.
They changed the game. And it really hadn't been the same since these two came through. One is Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
And the other is Maya Moore.
Yeah.
Now, right along with them, along the same time, was Lou Williams. And
yeah.
I think these three.
That's my childhood right there.
But these are the folks that made everybody look at Georgia, and especially Metro Atlanta, as a hotbed for basketball talent. Mm-hmm. We always knew about football talent being around here. But it changed the game, you know, for basketball with Dwight going, you know, was supposed to go to North Carolina. He was due to play at North Carolina, decided to go straight to the NBA. And Maya did the thing that I think changed the game for college women's basketball in the state, because up until that point, practically all of the very talented players from the state stayed in state,
mm-hmm.
and went to the University of Georgia. Maya goes to UConn,
mm-hmm.
and it hadn't been the same since. Georgia women's basketball has not been the same since Maya Moore decided to go to UConn.
I guess you got a point there, yeah.
It has not been the same.
She's like the first one to take her talent out of state.
And it started this march, mm-hmm. of the top talent out of state. And how do you put the genie back in the bottle? I don't know. They've been trying.
Pressure on that Georgia program.
They've been trying to do it for a number of years, you know. So, I mean, but Maya Moore is the person that really changed the game.
I didn't even think about it like that, Sam, but you're right.
Absolutely. It has not been the same in Athens since she went to UConn. And just amazing thing. And a lot of people, you know, the way she left the game left people wanting more, because we felt like she still had some more in the tank. You know, she had a different calling in her life to call her in a different direction. But all she did was win.
Yeah.
All Maya did was win. And so, you know, yeah, I'm excited whenever somebody that, you know, be it Calvin Johnson or, you know, anybody that I covered in high school is up for a Hall of Fame. I like to see him make it. Dwight Howard, how you feel about Dwight in the Hall of Fame?
Man, Dwight deserves to be there.
The Orlando Magic, Dwight Howard was pre-ticketed. He was destined for the Hall of Fame in Orlando.
I think people forget about the Orlando Magic Dwight. Like, a lot of people remember goofy Laker.
Yeah.
You know, didn't get along with Kobe Dwight, and not really what he was doing down there in Miami. Dwight was a problem. I remember Superman Dwight.
Right.
He was a problem.
Right.
Like, he took them all the way to the finals. Like, he took them to the finals.
Right.
And that was back when the big man was still the end-all, be-all. That was kind of like the end of the big man being the end-all of the NBA. He just couldn't or refused to, or maybe a little bit of both, evolve his game into something else to really, you know, gain a post-play or whatever. But, yeah, Dwight deserves to be there. Dwight's early Orlando career is insane.
Yeah, it is.
It just is.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's the thing. They built a big old building for him, and he left town. They were playing in the old building with Shaq, the old arena. And then they finally got rid of that and built this nice, new, shiny place for him. And he split.
Who was he beefing with? Gundy? Wasn't it Jeff Gundy?
May have been.
He was beefing with down there in Orlando?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there was nothing bigger than him in town but the mouse.
You ain't kidding? You
ain't kidding? That was the only thing bigger than Dwight Howard in Orlando. Was the mouse himself.
Crazy.
Yeah. But here he is, a finalist for the Hall of Fame. Let's see if our home folks make it. Right?
Hey, so well deserved.
Absolutely. So well to me, that's that. But you got, you know, the story is our two home folks, Maya Moore and Dwight Howard, game changers for high school basketball in our area, are finalists for the Hall of Fame. Fantastic.
Indeed. Undeniable. It just shows how undeniable their talent is. I mean, I remember when Maya Moore got that Jordan contract. That was insane to be a female basketball Jordan athlete. That was, for when that happened in like 2010, 11, 12, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That set the stage for where we are now with Bam wearing Asia shoe. Bam premiering Asia shoe on the court now. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But my story of the week right quick is the Philadelphia Eagles and their parade. Shout out. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. Congratulations to our friend of the show, the Thomas family. They were all excited.
We're going to hear from him tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll talk to them and see what they got going on. But, no, I want to talk about Jalen Hurts because, okay, so before this season started, right, we had the unfortunate passing of Frankie Beverly Mays.
Yeah.
But before that passing, we had, the passing of Frankie Beverly. Before that passing, we had the ending of Frankie Beverly Mays' tour career, right?
Right.
And it ends in Philadelphia, and everybody got on there all white, the standard protocol. Mm-hmm. Everybody has on there all white, and you see Jalen Hurts go up there, and he gives Frankie Beverly his flowers and all this good stuff. And I thought to myself, there is no way this 25-year-old man can be this old. There's absolutely no way. I mean, like, I am. I know I was, but, like, there's absolutely no way. And he has spent this entire season not just winning, but proving to me, yes, ma'am, in my soul, I am a retiree, and I'm about to be on a cruise ship with my all-white linen for the rest of my days. And even on the parade float yesterday, he had the little beret on, and he was looking all extra clean. And see him on his on his victory tour circuit doing the interviews and stuff, he just looks so clean and buttoned up and reserved. And not that the rest of his peers aren't mature, but it just feels different, right, on Jalen Hurts. It looks different. It sounds different. It feels different. And I just thought it was funny that that's how the year started. And it ended with him proving to me that, yes, I am that person, and I'm going to be that person. Whether we win, lose, have all the cameras on us or not. Even on Abbott Elementary, he was just so laid back and reserved and cool and himself. Kind of like the Denzel of football right now. Just laid back.
Whoa, you going to put that kind of pressure on him?
Yeah, just kind of laid back and reserved. And smooth and suave and like the PR classes where we're classing. Last week doing the Super Bowl. And it's just like, wow, this guy's like so put together and ready to go and like... I used to say all the time they need to have Matt Ryan give like a PR camp for quarterbacks for PR. Jalen Hurts is right up there with him. Jalen Hurts is right up there with him. He know how to move. He know how to groove. He know how to talk. He know how to walk. And he knows how to win. So Shout out to Philadelphia. Shout out to Jalen Hurts. Shout out to Alabama. Shout out to the Philly Dogs as they are now known.
Absolutely. And, absolutely. Will there be more?
And, you know, I don't want there to be more. I need that trajectory to turn this way, and that's why I was going with that. So you need to hit on five, and let's figure this thing out.
You know, that's the thing. Will somebody from Georgia drop down to the bottom of the first round and be there for Philadelphia?
Mm.
You know, I'm just saying because, you know. That's
I don't know now. Philly might have exposed themselves. Everybody might be just jumping over themselves to try to get a dog.
I know, because you see the results.
Man, Kirby?
You know?
You going to have to create an extra wing just for pro days and scouts. Because, man.
The quality goes in before the name goes on.
Man, listen, the Eagles have put a spotlight on it.
Absolutely.
And us being an SEC country, like, it's already, like, we already see it that way, right? Like, that's why you had so many dog fans upset with the front office or whatever, because we don't go get those dogs, right? But the Eagles just put it on national stage.
They did.
They win championships.
You get a collection.
In the pros and in the collegiate. They win championships, so... Shout out to Philly, man.
You want to go win, you got to focus on what's happening over in Athens, right?
Woo!
That's what we're watching for as we get set and work our way down through the pro days, through the combine, and down to the draft. Of course, we're going to be following it all for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, because that is what we do. That is what we do. And so stay tuned for more Falcons talk, more NFL talk coming up later on in our show. We're going to be joined by David Archer, Falcons broadcast crew. They talk a little bit about Falcons, talk a little bit about what he's seeing, what he thinks the team might do, and some offseason things with this Falcons team as well. That is coming up. But next up, let me see, we're going to talk some college hoops. We're going to talk with Tim Scarborough, college basketball analyst. Talk about what's in the water in the Southeastern Conference with this basketball, man. We're supposed to be a football league down here. We're winning in hoops. Of course, we got the games here for you later on today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stay with us. It is weekend mornings. I'm Sam. Greg's on assignment on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Got Sam Crenshaw, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios, fog outside my window. I can barely see across the street here. I think the Art Center's across the street. It's just thick fog in the area. So be moving around the area this morning. Be careful if you're moving around, if you have to get out. All our essential workers and people who have to work, there are people who have to work today. But if you don't have to get out, you might want to give this fog a little time to burn off before you get moving around on this Saturday morning. Be safe wherever you are. So glad you're with us with our show in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And once again, our recurring question and theme today, with this being All-Star Weekend for both the NBA and the NHL, and we have it the Pro Bowl 2 weeks ago, have All-Star games kind of lost their pizzazz, if you want to say, or I won't say lost their usefulness, but do you really care about them anymore? We got the NHL doing something different. They're doing a series of international, like an international tournament. We got, you know, teams, four different teams that will be playing the NBA All-Star game tomorrow. Does this make you pay attention? Do you like it? Or do you like the flag football at the Pro Bowl? I don't know anybody that watched that. Anyway, give us a shout this morning, 404-726-0929. Just your thoughts on All-Star game. If you like them, if you don't like them, if you wish they go away. I'll tell you what's not going away. This college basketball in the Southeastern Conference. Man. SEC right now, I think if the tournament went down today, we might have 12 to 13 teams from the SEC alone make it into the big dance. Think about that. Think about that. And a guy who talks about it all the time joins us. Always great spending some time with Tim Scarborough joining us now on the waitforit.com hotline. Tim, good morning. Welcome back to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, man.
Damn, my man. Good morning, my friend. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Except for this fog outside the window. I can't see Buckhead. Yeah.
Oh, unless the weather this 2024-25 has been crazy. I mean, snow, rain, fog. I mean, at least we don't have fires and earthquakes, so we can't really complain, right?
How about that? How about, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Man, let's talk some college hoops, and I guess we have to start with the main event. Who knew Alabama and Auburn? We knew this is a big deal for football game. Call it the Iron Bowl. I don't know what they're going to call it for basketball, but that's the main event. How did this happen?
Wow, right? Number one versus number two in the SEC. This is reminiscent of, you know, Duke Carolina, that rivalry when they're number one and two on occasion, right?
Right.
But the college basketball has shifted to the SEC. It's really kind of funny when you think about Alabama and Auburn being really what we would say two football schools, but lately, you know, Nate Oates and Bruce Pearl have done a great job of elevating those basketball programs as well to national contention.
And even though with Auburn having a setback recently, it didn't budge them from where they are in the standings. The strength of schedule for these teams in the SEC is going to be incredible when it comes to selection time, don't you think?
I do, because they are all associated. It's kind of like guilt by association. This one is tournament entry by association, right? Because if the SEC started off so highly in the preseason, and I believe they were something like 125-10 or 8 or something, and that really got the conference off to a great start in non-conference. And just looking at the records now, several of them have already won 20 games, and many more will certainly win 20 games before the next few weeks before we start conference tournament. So my guy, Joe Lunardi, good friend, bracketology, literally created the term bracketology and the science of bracketology.
Yes.
And talking to him, Joe says there's going to be 14 of the 16 teams in the SEC.
That's unbelievable. That's mind-boggling.
You might as well take LSU and South Carolina too, right? Just all 16 should just go, right? At this point, it's crazy.
But I got to ask you this: if this is happening in the SEC, what is going on in the once mighty and powerful and dominant ACC? You know,
well, it's not the same. It's not the same conference, right? It's a different place. But I think more to the question is what has happened to Virginia and North Carolina and Florida State, the teams that traditionally competed for national championships in that league, right? And Syracuse.
Yeah.
And the answer is some of them have lost their big name coaches, but some of it is just there's just too many teams in these conferences now. And the SEC and the ACC in particular, when you think about the geographical map, Stanford's in the ACC now. SMU is in the ACC now. That doesn't really help in terms of rivalries, in terms of getting your conference profile, it helps in terms of money, and obviously in terms of football, which is why these, which is what precipitated all these moves. But I think one conference that got hurt by all of this, to me, is the ACC. Duke is still Duke because they had an unbelievable recruiting class, but you know, can they even sustain it with losing their big name coach Mike Krzyzewski a few years ago? It's an interesting dynamic, but the power has definitely shifted south. That's for sure.
It truly has. You look at the ACC, Clemson, the only other team that is nationally ranked in that league. Tell me something though, Tim. With all of these teams from the SEC, what does this do to the mid majors? Is this going to squeeze the mid majors out? You know, would American Conference or Conference USA lose a chance to get a second team in?
100%. More so the American specifically, because Conference USA for the last probably 15 years now has been a one-bid league in terms of bids. They've been a multi-bid league in terms of teams and talent, but they get overlooked. There was a team I covered a few years back, Middle Tennessee. It's probably 2016, 17 now, but they were in the top 25 for the last month of the year. And they had, you know, three or four power teams that they had beaten. They beat Louisville. They beat Ole Miss. They beat Ole Miss by 25. Like, they were a really, really good mid-major team. They ended up winning Conference USA Tournament, but I was told that they had to win the Conference USA Tournament. And even that team was not going to get an at-large bid because Conference USA, the perception was, that's a one-bid league. So, and there were other examples as well. This year, of course, Conference USA is retooled, as many conferences have, because of all of the changes the last few years. But Conference USA is eighth in the country right now in terms of conference affiliation. And, of course, I cover that league well, and I'm close to it now because my alma mater, Liberty, is now in that league. And they are top 70 in the terms of RPI and net. But at the same time, they don't have the resume to get at large. They have to take care of business in Huntsville, Alabama in March, or they won't be dancing. So it's just the way it is. But the American, to answer your question, they have a lot of teams in the past that have gotten in that I feel like they're going to get squeezed out by. If you put 14 SEC teams in, you are taking slots from somebody. And the American is a prime league that is going to not get the amount of people that you think they should get.
Yeah, I've been thinking about them, and maybe Missouri Valley, I think they usually get one or two teams in, and maybe those teams, they may feel the squeeze. Folks are spending time on the waitfor.com outline with Tim Scarborough. He is social. You can find him at TimScar20, at Tim, S-E-A-R-20, and he keeps up with everything college basketball, following with college hoops down and going down the road. What mid-majors are jumping out at you, though, that you think could get to the tournament and cause some trouble? I see what Memphis is doing. I don't consider them a mid-major, but they are back. No. And Memphis, Hardaway, they got some impressive wins this year.
Yeah, that league, I mean, it's too bad the American lost Houston and Cincinnati, because that really gave them panache. And it gave them quality wins. It gave the profile of the conference some gusto. But now Memphis is kind of carrying the load. They've done a great job. You know, they're 11-1 in conference. I like North Texas in that league. And North Texas is a former Conference USA team that had done well the last few years before Grant McCaslin, their coach, took the job at Texas Tech. But Ross Hodge, who was his assistant, took over and he's picked up where Grant left off. I mean, that's a really good league. FAU is a team that went to the Final Four 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They are not as good because they lost their coach to Michigan. Yeah. So it's hard to sustain this thing in the mid-majors. But, yeah, to answer your question, ones that stand out to me, I mean, you look at the Mountain West and New Mexico, the Lobos. They're 13-1 in conference, 21-4 overall. And, you know, Rick Pitino's son, Richard, is the coach there. So I think, you know, they have a high profile, and they'll do really well in the tournament. That's a team I probably wouldn't want to play if I was a major team. And it's interesting, they had Jamal Mashburn Jr. for the last few years. They were really good. But Jamal Mashburn Jr. now plays for Temple up in Philadelphia. And speaking of Philadelphia, we could talk about that at the end of this. But
so you knew you're going to find a way to work that in there, right?
Of course. I've got to segue to my Birds. Go Birds. But the New Mexico, you know, they lost the one of the top scorers in the country, and it hasn't hurt them. And that, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree when it comes to Pitino's. Richard Pitino, really, really good coach. So New Mexico is a team I would look out for in the tournament. And that's for the guys who like to put a little money down from time to time. That's a little tip for you.
All right. And before we let you get to your Birds, let's talk about the teams a little bit closer to home. Georgia Tech's playing Cal today. Cal's come all the way across the country. You know, they are the neighbors now. They are in the conference. And then Georgia, man, can they stop the tailspin? I mean, they were up at the half at Texas A&M, came out in the second half and couldn't buy a basket. I mean, for almost the entire second half, they got Missouri today. It gets no easier for them.
Well, there's no easy games in the SEC, really, right? I mean, LSU is 1-10, but they could beat you. They're competitive. It's just that they have, you know, they have trouble closing the games. I think South Carolina is probably the only, I would call, bad team in that league. But, yeah, I mean, you think about Texas. Texas is one of the better teams in the country, and they're 15-10 because they lose a lot of close games to the SEC top. So, yeah, it is not going to be easy for Georgia. Having said that, you know, if they can get to 20 wins, I feel like they'll get into the NCAA tournament, which is a major thing for Georgia basketball these past several years. They don't get into the NCAA tournament very often. Yeah. So give Mike White some credit for rebuilding that program back up. It's not where I think they could be based on the recruiting and the talent that we have in this state, but they're getting there. They're moving in the right direction. So,
yeah, we're talking about
it's no easy game.
Yeah, Newell got into foul trouble early, and I mean, he has to avoid that because when he's in and playing well, that's the factor really that kind of makes them go. They need the perimeter game to be on, but on the inside, this guy makes things happen.
Yeah, Asa Newell, one of the better players in the SEC. He could end up being probably second team all conference, but a really, really good player.
Fantastic. All right, we'll let you talk about your folks, you know, up the way. They had the big parade yesterday. I'm surprised you didn't go.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't go, too, to be honest. As big of a fan as I am, but I've been doing so much traveling. This is a rare weekend that I'm not doing any games, and I was just like, it would have been perfect, but it was Valentine's Day, Sam. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. All right. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. And the wife's birthday is coming up next week, and I'm going to be out of town then. So, you know, she likes the Birds, too, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
thoughts about the performance of Mr. Hurts, because everyone was watching that last Sunday, and he went out and delivered, right?
I'll just say this. The guy is an elite quarterback, and he always has been. He is different than most quarterbacks, and because of that, he gets graded on a different curve. But you think about, I mean, I watch a lot of sports talk radio and sports talk TV, I should say, but I do listen to Colin Cowherd. And I remember a few weeks ago, he had Jalen Hurts. It was 8 teams left in the playoffs, and Hurts was the least. He was at the bottom of the list of quarterbacks. They had guys like Goff in front of him, Jaden Daniels, who hadn't even played a playoff game, just his first one the week before. He had them. And I'm like, man, Jalen Hurts is taking the team to the Super Bowl. And we just don't give the guy any credit at all. He's got 38 rushing touchdowns, and it's a guy on TV, Chase Daniel on Fox. And Chase says, you know, we don't count those because they're tush pushes. And I'm like, well, what quarterback got him his team to the 1 yard line to get those touchdowns? He's acting like they just insert Jalen for one play and he runs it in. It's kind of crazy, the disrespect, but I love it because Jalen Hurts was fueled by that. And I hope they continue it because that guy is going to win multiple Super Bowls if they keep that team together. That's a fact.
Fantastic. Tim Scarborough, always great spending some time with you. Glad you had some time to talk some college hoop with us. Got some big games. Let's enjoy these games today, man.
Yes, sir. Alabama, Auburn. We'll all be tuned in for that one. That's crazy to think about, right? It's not football season, but it's basketball.
It's basketball season, but they're number one and number two big time. That's going to be a great game, man. Thanks so much for the time this morning.
Absolutely, Sam. Thanks a lot, my brother.
All right, that is Tim Scarborough joining us. Always great to talk some college hoops with him. The man is all over the place with college basketball. I'm glad he spent some time with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Headed for the 9 o'clock hour. I don't think it's some things that are happening locally. Mike Salmon's going to join us. And Noel's World. Ah, that's all coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. You want to stay tuned for it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. We're everywhere on the Odyssey app.